Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trundy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, on live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country as BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And you can have your say in Yarn Up Strong. We're across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So Yarn Up Strong on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional across the beautiful country as Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Going to jump straight in it. Native bush fruit harvesters move to secure Kakadu's plums future from fraudsters. We're going to catch up with Yarn Earth Paul Seiki, Executive Officer of Northern Australia Aboriginal Kakadu Plum Alliance. That's NAKPA. On the line, we have Paul. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Paul, thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about native bush fruit harvesters move to secure Kakadu's plums future from fraudsters. So when you look at that situation, how do you police and what sort of fraudsters are we talking, fraudulent action, habitats happening?
Yes. So first of all, I'm calling from Adelaide, so I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners here on the Kaurna people, the Kaurna Nation. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of when you talk about fraud
behavior,
bush foods, it's actually quite broad.
Okay.
There's lots of different aspects. So if you look at the Food and Agricultural Organization, the UN, they define food fraud as deliberate deception or misrepresentation to gain financial gain.
Okay.
So when you think of it that way, it's actually quite broad.
Yes.
In the bush food space, there's all sorts of stuff from misrepresentation where non-Indigenous companies use Indigenous designs to present themselves as a little bit Indigenous through to black cladding, for example, which maybe your listeners are familiar with.
Yes.
But specifically within Kakadu plum, there's a lot of issues with the supply chain where aggregators are sourcing Kakadu plum and they're telling manufacturers that it's sourced from Indigenous groups.
Okay.
But they won't disclose.
Similar to Indigenous art.
Yeah, it is. Mm. There are similarities. There are also differences.
Sure.
But yeah, a lot of these aggregators won't disclose where they're sourcing it from. So there's that gap in that there's a gap there that can lead to fraud.
And how are you policing this fraudulent behaviour?
Well, it's a bit difficult to say the least. What we are doing is some of our NAKPA producers are actually contacting different companies that are referring to goods that they say that they've bought from those groups. So it's really about traditional owner groups calling it out. We are working on a project with ANSTO, Australia's Nuclear Science Technology Organisation, where we're using some provenance technology, and we're trying to build a traceability system that will bring more accountability and bring more information to consumers about sort of Indigenous supply chains.
Paul, when people are caught out being fraudulent, is there hefty fines?
So we're working on that project at the moment. It's a three-year project, and we're hopefully by about 2024 we'll actually have some platforms. But there are also a range of difficulties and complexities in terms of defining what an Indigenous supply chain looks like.
Yes.
So what does Indigenous certification mean? Does that mean that it has to be 100% sourced from an Indigenous grower, 100% produced by an Indigenous manufacturer? So all of those questions really need to be discussed, and that's what we're working through at the moment.
Yes. Paul, can you hear me there?
Are you there?
Yeah, I lost Paul. That's Paul Sakey, his name is, the Executive Officer of Northern Australian Aboriginal Kakadu Plum Alliance, NACPA, and talking about the native bush food harvesters' move to secure Kakadu's plums' future from fraudsters. And so, look, a very important conversation. And when we're talking about our mob in business and a fantastic lucrative business as such, they need to be protected as such. But we just lost Paul. We'll try and get Paul back to finish off that conversation. But tracing the origin of the fruit, NACPA is working with Australian Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation, ANSTO, as Paul mentioned, to develop technology that tests the elements of the fruit to confirm its geographic origin. So similar to art fraudulence for First Nation artists as such, when people out there using Indigenous art and it's not true to coming from Indigenous persons Indigenous art shops, it's fraudulent in that sense. So they're doing their best as well to tackle that space, but very similar in regard to the Kakadu plum. So there it is. We'll try and get the brother back and continue that line. We'll just try again with Paul. Paul, you there, Paul?
Sorry.
No, I caught everything that you were saying, and look, fantastic. Thank you for sharing. Just talking about how do you police the fraudulent behaviour?
Yeah, that's a real challenge. And you know, we're trying to develop this technology through ANSTO to actually develop some way where you can prove where something comes from.
Now, regarding First Nation families and traditional owner groups, are there Indigenous families building a business in this industry?
Yeah, there are actually.
Good.
We've got a few examples within the NACPA consortium that are family-based groups.
Yes.
Mercedes Cove is one. So they really started a few years ago, and they're really building into quite a good Gubbinj, or they call it Gubbinj in Western Australia, business. We've also got Mayer Harvest is another family group as well. So, you know, we really, really encourage Indigenous people to, you know, take ownership and sovereignty of some of their cultural foods.
Yeah, fantastic. The fruit can only be picked at certain times. When's the season for Kakadu plum?
So for Kakadu plum, it's in Western Australia. It's usually really late December, right through January. And in the Northern Territory, it's probably around April to early May. So,
and what sort of prices we're talking regarding kilograms?
So it depends. So it depends where you're harvesting. I think in Western Australia, some of the general pickers, you know, will actually get around $20 a kilo. In the Northern Territory, it varies, but it's around that. It can range from about 12 through to about 20.
Yeah.
And then they on-sell it to aggregators as a whole frozen product, and that usually ranges from between $30 to $40 a kilo.
Yeah, beautiful. Look, thank you very much for the yarn, and good luck with it all regarding protecting Kakadu plum from fraudsters. A good conversation, and all the best, and we'll keep in touch, Paul. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for your time.
Bye-bye. There it is. That's Paul Sakey. His name is Executive Officer of Northern Australian Aboriginal Kakadu Plum Alliance and NACPA, and talking about the fruit itself. Harvesters are moving to secure Kakadu plums' future from fraudsters. So they're out there. Protect the plum, protect the black people in business, and let's do things right. That's what it's all about. Have your say, Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black with Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, 1-800-422-416.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yeah, to Delhi, Mike. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yana with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, here at BBM Bummer Brit Media 98.7 FM. All right, let's talk NRL. The Sea Eagles got up against the Knights, 30-6. And Friday Night Football happening tonight. We've got the Cowboys up against the Warriors and the Roosters up against the Broncos. And then on Saturday, football, Raiders versus Storms, Rabbitohs versus Dragons. And looking at the other games that are coming about, Titans versus the Eels. And on Sunday, football, Sharks up against West Tigers and Bulldogs versus the Panthers. So there it is for NRL. Give us a call. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Maybe you're going to talk football. Maybe you're going to talk about what's happening with your organisation. Maybe you're going to talk about your deadly daughter going to university. Either way, all years here on your daily program, National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.
Well, I've lived and worked a long time across the great divide, riding the mountain ranges to the valleys far below. I'm riding with my buddies, they are from way out back, just across the big old mountains, across the great divide. Oh, I wish I was on the mountain, across the great divide, singing country gospel songs round the campfire at night. And I remember old Joe Morgan and boy and his wife Sue. They lived on Lucky Station just across the great divide. I got caught out in the city one cold winter's day. Ran out of meat and money, living in the one-room shack. I hear the dingoes howling when the moon comes out at night, but I know it's wishful thinking, I was on the mountain tonight. Oh, I wish I was on the mountain, just across the great divide, singing country gospel songs round the campfire at night. And I remember old Joe Mogo and Brian and his wife Sue. I lived on Lucky Station just across the great divide. I've run old Lucky Dems and asked, boy, please pay my fare. And if it comes to Savo, I'll be on the first train home. Cause I'm sure sad and lonely living in this place. And I don't hear the cattle lowing nor the dingoes howling. Oh, I wish I was on the mountain across the great divide, singing country gospel songs round the campfire at night. And I remember old Mac Cole and David his son too. They're just two mighty men of valor who live across the great divide. We'll be right back.
and you're still not home. I've been calling everywhere on this telephone. I know I was wrong, didn't mean to be cruel, but you were right all along and I was being a fool. Oh baby, baby, babe, I wouldn't do you no harm. And I miss the sweet caress of you in my arms.
Hey, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Yeah, time after time with Sister Jessica Mowboy. Big shout out. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor 720, Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News, National Digital Radio Service. Have you say you might be Yarn Up Strong. Now, when thousands of people from across the world attended the public memorial for Shane Warne at the MCG, the Day of Love and Legacy was further proof of how Australia's identity strongly linked with the stories of its athletes. But Warne's was not the only sporting story in Victoria last week that offered a glimpse into who we are. The tale of Australia's first sports team to tour overseas, an all-Aboriginal cricket side known as the First 11 of 1860, was brought to life in a performance by an entirely Indigenous cast. Well, we're going to talk to the playwright and artistic director, Wesley Enoch, on the line. Wesley, good morning, brother. How are you?
Yeah, good, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
My mob's Quandamooka mob and also Kanju mob from up that way, but mostly Quandamooka mob here in beautiful Moreton Bay, Quandamooka country down here. And, yeah, I'm a theatre writer and director, and I'm the director of this show, Black Cockatoo.
Yes.
Which is around now, which is, yeah, deadly show, really deadly show.
Well, it tells the story of the Black Cockatoo, tells the story of 13 cricket players who learnt the game from the West Wimmera's settlers, who farms they worked on. So tell us the story and the play, brother, please.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you say, that, you know, when the squatters and the different settlers came out from England and they set up their big cattle stations and sheep stations and whatever, they used to do what the aristocracy used to do in England, and they used to have these cricket games with the help. And so, you know, Aboriginal people learned cricket on the land there. And then in 1868, they put this team together of Aboriginal players, and they went to England and toured around. And they won 14, they lost 14, they drew the rest of these games. But it was interesting because in 1868, yes, cricket was very important, but also it was a time of anthropology and people trying to understand what was going on in the country. So there was this real sense of when they weren't playing cricket, they were throwing spears and boomerangs and, you know, mock tribal battles and a whole range of really, you know, weird things. And the play tells that story of Johnny Muller, who is the lead player and or the captain, if you like. And then it also tells a modern-day story of a group of Aboriginal activists who break into the Johnny Muller Museum or the Wimmera Discovery Centre, and they start to unpack the boxes and start to find the artefacts of the tour and bring it to life for the audience. And they talk about what it means for us to be understanding the importance of the First 11 to our sense of identity now and what we really need to do to tell the truth so we can move into the future.
Wesley, when you talk about cricket and how big it is across the globe, and especially how big it is in Australia, when we talk about the memorial there for Shane Warne and rest in peace, the lad, you know, but we talk about cricket. It is a fantastic sport. Well, it brings people together, and it's bigger than Ben-Hur. But not mention, first time I ever heard of the First 11 of 1868. Does Australian cricket acknowledge and point that out? Where are we at with that?
Yeah, look, you know, if you asked me this question 10 years ago, they'd be going, oh, yeah, we know about it. Cricket Australia have been really good in the last, let's call it 5 years or so.
Good, okay.
Where they've really been bringing that. And so people might know Scott Boland, who got the Johnny Muller medal at the Boxing Day Test earlier this year.
Yes.
Scott Boland, an Aboriginal cricketer. And Johnny Muller, as the person I was saying, that he was the, let's call him the team captain.
Yes.
Of the First.
So they're acknowledging it.
Yeah, so they absolutely are. And they have been for a little while, every time there's an anniversary. So it was only, 2018, it was the 150th anniversary of that trip. Mm. And so Cricket Australia is saying, actually, this is part of our heritage. This is part of who we are. And in the same way that AFL have really embrace the Mount Brook and the history of our football game, you know, that Cricket Australia are really acknowledging the history of that and saying that, yes, before Shane Warne, before, you know, Don Bradman and Eddie Gilbert, too, if you put that story in there.
Exactly.
But then we also had the First 11, and it was the first sporting team ever
yes.
to go from Australia to England. Like,
yeah,
ever.
Fantastic. Ever.
So
exactly.
Really great history. Yeah.
It is a history. Like I said, Australia's got a history, good or bad, black or white, but the history is a history, and they should put it out there. In regard to the play, tell us about actors, the cast, and who's at the table.
Oh, look, there's a cast of six. Aaron McGrath's coming on. People might know him from what was some of the films he's done. He did Red Fern Now. Mm. He did also did Black Comedy. He did this latest thing called Preppers on ABC. So he's coming on board, replacing Mark Nanup, who is stepping off from the tour next week. But also the great cast of fantastic people. Colin Smith, who plays not just an Aboriginal activist, he then plays the white tour manager. So he is an Aboriginal person playing a white role.
Okay.
And we do that all the way through.
Yes.
Phoebe Grainer, who's come from Up Your Mob, your way up there near Cairns too, she plays a Lady Bardwell, a white aristocratic lady who befriends the Aboriginal team. And so there's this kind of constant moving in and out of character along the way.
Yeah.
I should say this too, last week actually, we performed this show at Harrow, which is the home of Johnny Muller, on the Johnny Muller Oval.
Fantastic. Goosebumps here.
One elder looked across at this tree that had been, you know, a couple of years ago when there were fires through there, and they looked and they could see this outline in the charcoal on the tree of this figure, and they went,
No, you don't.
And this elder said, "Is that Johnny Muller looking down at us?"
Yeah,
and I went,
beautiful.
Oh,
shut up.
Winky. I kind of went, oh.
Hey, knock off, Wesley.
But the sense of going how playing
exactly.
in that place. And on that oval,
yeah.
if you look up a hill, they put a plaque where Johnny Muller hit his furthest ball, the furthest six, which is, you know, like, oh, mate, 80-odd metres
yes.
up this hill.
Yes.
And you just get a sense of the power of the man and the memory of it. So us doing that story there in Harrow was really quite beautiful, really beautiful.
Well, there's stories about Black AFL as well, my brother, and going back in history. So, look, this is fantastic. Wesley, congratulations on the play. First 11 of 1868. So where's it all been played, my friend?
Well, it's in Brisbane at the moment, here in Yagara Turrbal country. Goes down to Yugamere country down in Gold Coast, Mackay, Rockhampton. We've already played down in Frankston and Tasmania. So it's still on tour for another
And what, Cairns too far north for you, is it?
Oh, too far north.
Shut up. Hit a six up this way. Hit a six up this way.
But, you know, like, every time we play, last night we just played in Logan, where my family were all there. And there's such pride, not just in the actors, the people on stage, but such pride in our stories being told and our truth being acknowledged. That's the real power, isn't it, Trevor? That real power.
And using whatever vehicle, whether it be play, whether it be song, whether it be dance, poem, whatever case may be, my brother. Look, love your work. Thank you very much for sharing, Wesley, and all the best to the staff, crew, and, look, keep smiling, my brother.
You too, Trevor. All right, thanks.
Take care, bro. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Diddly young there. Wesley Enoch, his name is, playwright and artistic director for First 11 of 1868, and the story of all our Aboriginal cricket side that was Australia's first sports team to tour overseas. And as he mentioned, won 14, lost 14, and drew the rest. So, look, fantastic. And look, very sporty we are. And there's the story there. They're talking about a memorial for Shane Warne. Like I said, rest in peace. But at the same time, in the last week was that offered a glimpse in who we are regarding the Australia's first sporting team to travel overseas. Look, fantastic story. Have you say Yanup Strong at the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
No. It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
In the back of my mind, memories of you are never hard to find. Not knowing where you are, not knowing where you're gone. For I know deep in my heart, hills where you belong. Hey, yeah. Stay with me, just for. Tell me in the time. For those moments in time, I shall hold so very dear. For those precious memories, I will always shed a tear. Hey, you stay with me, just for. Stay with me just for a little while. Stay with me. I'm cold and I'm lonely. Stay with me until the end of times of desperation, I turn to you in despair, to ask for your forgiveness, to see if you still care, to hold you in my arms again, just to see a smile, will take away the pain, and make it all worthwhile. Stay with me, just for the moment, yeah. Stay with me. Just for a little while, stay with me. I'm cold and I'm lonely. Stay with me until the end of time. Until the end of time. Until the end of time.
Yeah, Kutcher Edwards, Stay With Me. You mob, stay with me. Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry, live with your daily program, National Talk Black, here at the First Nation Radio Station in Cairns here, Bummer Bip Media. That's 98.7 FM, your dingy country. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call, stay with me for 13 minutes for the program. And then we end for this week. And back in the hot seat again next week, Monday. Let's talk AFL. The Demons got up against Port Adelaide, actually flogged them 68 points to 36. Friday night football tonight, got the Lions up against the Cats. And Saturday football, North Melbourne up against Sydney Swans, as well as the Eagles up against Collingwood, West Coast Eagles up against Collingwood, and Western Bulldogs up against Richmond Tigers. GWS Giants up against Fremantle, and on Sunday football, you got the Adelaide Crows playing the Bombers, Essendon, and St Kilda up against the Hawks, and you also got Carlton up against Gold Coast Suns, which will end the week for football, AFL. That's round four. There it is, your mob. Hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Have your say and yarn up strong. And like I said, taking you right through 12 noon midday. And got about 11 minutes left on the program. So yarn up strong, add to the conversation. Too deadly.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
came back from the city. Say, cuz, where you been? Says, brother, I've been living on the wire. Live down in that gutter where the fittest survive and plow through them fields of fire. Had a needle in a vein that profited the same. Had a friend with no name who was a liar. Saw the white walls of freedom, never found the black door. Saw the devil sing with angels in a choir. Sister,
we'll take you home to the land we know. Give you that peace of the evening. Give you that moon with the wind on your face. The rains and the change of each season.
Saw people who trapped under the whip of fat cats. Saw people there devoid of their dreaming. But deep down inside there, there's so much to hide, brother. You can see it in their eyes, there's no meaning. So take me, my sisters, and welcome me home, so I never again walk alone. Our spirit demands that we die in this land, and I know now my spirit's come home. Sister,
we'll take you home.
Yeah, beautiful track on the wire there, TCD, Troy Cassidaly. Big shout out, my brother. Hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Blast. Come the time where Trinity Trev signs off for today. I'm back in the hot seat again tomorrow, in actual fact, next Monday. So look, your mob, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe in regard to COVID-19. Have a talk to your First Nation health organisations about the vaccine and about where you're at, and keeping you safe and keeping your family safe. But thank you for your yarn. Thanks for the week. And like I said, National Talk Blast is your program, and come to you live from First Nation radio station here in Cairns, by my Brippin Media, National Talk Black, and we go via News, National Indigenous Radio Service. So thank you for your time, your mob. But yarn up very soon. Big shout out to First Nation health organisations and black organisations in radio. Big shout out, Deadly Black Network, your mob. Thank you. Too deadly.